Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Dalad. We're at the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, 15 lines from the top. Before we resume our discussion regarding the sugya of Muktzah, which is very deep and all-encompassing, perhaps it would be great just to, as a small introduction, to go through the words of the Rishonim and discuss the background, the basis for the Isser of being a Taltal Muktzah. So we have the Ravid who tells us that it's based on the Gemara of Toto Atu Hoitza, that we're concerned that a person gets over-involved in moving around objects. Perhaps he's going to do the Melacha Hoitza, carry out things into Shesurabim. The Rambam says there's a concern that he might be engaged in Melachis. If he moves items, he might do Melachis with them. This appears to be specifically directed at those Kalim which are used for Melachis, for instance, a hammer. The Rambam also says that one's overall conduct on Shabbos is meant to be different than during the weekday. We learned earlier regarding Shabbos clothing, Shabbos food. So likewise, says the Rambam, regarding moving around objects, one's not meant to simply transport things, move things around. One's meant to be restricted and limited in his interaction with objects. Therefore, the Rambam concludes that one could only move kelim hatzorech lo, utensils, kelim that he needs. Obviously, this is in addition to food and drink. But when it comes to objects, kelim, that's one condition, has to be a kli, and tzorech lo, he needs it. It's performing a function. It's filling a need. Now, we have different categories of muktzah. So if these two things are requirements, it needs to be keli. So that rules out those things which are not considered to be utensils, random objects, pebbles, stones, pieces of wood, broken kelim. Those are off limits completely. We have things that we discussed earlier, things that which are fragile, which are delicate. Those are called muktzah machmas chisorin kis, on account of the loss which one incurs by mishandling these things. They're designated for their malachis, not meant to be used for anything else. Those things can't be used, moved under any circumstances. Then we have things which are malachti le'isser, which are designated to be used for malachis. A hammer, for instance, we know it in the Mishnah, one can use it to crack nuts. So the klishim malachti le'isser is another category, and then we have klishim malachti le'heter, of course, something which is designated for permissible use. Different categories, different halachis. Now, the loosely used term called muktzah, which is very widely applied, used in the world, is actually, there are many applications of muktzah, as we see different categories. So that term muktzah is loosely used and applied in all circumstances. But as we see, there are different categories, there are different levels of muktzah. There are some things which are off limits completely, like the stone, the pebbles. Then we have the tools, which are malachti l'issa, which can be, we call it muktzah, but really, it can be used if it's l'tzarech, if he needs it to crack the nut. So it's muktzah, but it's a different level of muktzah. But again, the point here is that the heter is to use it. Kelim hatzorech lo. It's not merely meant to transport things. So if he doesn't need it, he's merely transporting it. That's not called tzorech lo. That's merely transporting. So that's the point. That's the formula that we need to apply. So the upcoming sugya, hopefully we'll have some clarity based on these words of the Rishonim. Begins the Mishnah. Kol ha-kelim nitalim, all kelim can be moved. We're speaking about something which is designated for permissible use. Melachti leheter. It can be moved litzorech, if it's for tzorech, filling a need. Shloy litzorech, even if it's not filling a need. They can only be moved litzorech, if he needs them. Rav Nechemya holds that a kli can only be moved litzorech tashmish hamyuchaloi, for its defined purpose. The Gemara is going to elaborate on the opinions of a Tanna Kamma and Rav Nechemya. Before we begin the Gemara, the term litzorech needs a little elaboration. What does it mean for a need, to fill a purpose? For the function, what does that mean? So we have three levels, actually, of benefit from moving an item. We have a direct benefit, a direct hana, which is called tzorech gufoi. He's going to use the kli itself. Take that hammer and crack the nuts. That's a direct hana. We have tzorech mekoymai. He needs the space underneath this muktzah item. He needs to vacate the area. It's a hana. He's benefiting from it. It's some sort of use, but it's an indirect hana. It's an indirect shimush. He's not actually using the kli itself. He's moving it so he should have the space available. That's indirect. That's level number two. Level number three is he's benefiting, but very indirectly. He's moving the kli simply to preserve it, to protect it. He's taking it mechamel etzel, from sun to shade. So there's no hana coming from the kli to him. He's benefiting because he's preserving his kli. He's sparing himself the loss. That's a different type of tiltel. So these are three different variations of tzorech, and the Gemara will discuss all three of them. Says the Gemara, my litzurich. What does the Tanakhama mean when he says he can move the kli litzurich to fill a need? Oh, my shaloi litzurich. What does he mean when he says shaloi litzurich? Omar Rabba, litzurich means dover shemalachte leheter. We're speaking about something which is primarily used for heter use. So you can move it litzurich gufoi. Litzurich means for the sake of the guf itself. He wants to use the kli itself directly. Shaloi litzurich is referring to davar shemalachte leheter litzurich mekoymai. He can move the, this is the same thing, this davar shemalachte leheter litzurich mekoymai, even if he's not directly benefiting from the kli. He's merely moving it out to vacate the space, to vacate the area. That is also allowed, but we're speaking about a kli shemalachte leheter. So going to Rabba, the word litzurich means direct use. Shaloi litzurich, indirect use. And both are mutter. When we are speaking about something which is malachti leheter, which is primarily being used for permissible uses, and therefore it is mutter. So that's what the Tana is referring to. Now, we imply from this that when it comes to something which is malachti leheter, for instance, a hammer which is primarily used for malacha, we need to downgrade, we need to limit and restrict a bit more. V'dovesh malachti leheter, then we have a distinction. Litzoyrech gufayin. If he's using it directly, he's taking the hammer and cracking those nuts. Yes, that's allowed. But litzurich mekoymelai. But if he's merely moving it to vacate the space, vacate the area, he can't do that. Because according to Rabba's approach, which is a more stringent approach than the approach of Rabba, which we're going to see soon, Rabba makes a distinction, differentiates between direct and indirect use. He says, well, when it comes to a kli, which is malachti leheter, it's inherently something which is mutter, then fine, move it, whether you need the kli itself, whether you need the space, that's okay. But when it's something which is designated for iser, then the only way he can use it is if he temporarily changes that designation, he redirects the purpose of the kli, he's going to use the kli itself for a shimush hetter, he's going to crack those nuts with the hammer. But if he's merely moving it to vacate the area, he's not actually using the kli itself, the kli retains its status, its iser status, it's not considered to be standing to be used for this purpose. That's not the kelim atzorach, he doesn't need the kli itself, he's merely moving it to vacate the area. Therefore, this is considered to be a kli asur, it still stands to be used for malacha, it's not aimed for this shimush. And therefore, it's muktzah. But when it comes to kli shemalachta leheter, then we don't have this restriction. It can be moved either for the sake of using the kli itself, tzarech gufoy, or even tzarech mekoymai, because that is also regarded as somewhat a shimush here, and therefore it's mutter because we're speaking about something which is inherently standing to be used for heter. You don't need to really change the designation of the kli. It stands to be used for permissible use, so you can move it whether he needs the kli or he needs the space. So this is the shita of the Tanna Kamma. V'asher Nechemi l'meimer, Nechemi comes and he says, even something which is designated for heter, we are restricted. If he's moving it to use the kli itself, fine, that's its designated purpose. But if he's merely moving this kli to use its space, it's awesome. Because according to Reb Nechemi, we are even more restricted. He can only move a kli litzorich the tashmish hamiyuchad loy, even a spoon, a fork. He can only use it, move it for the sake of its defined purpose, which means using the kli for its designated purpose. But if he's really moving it to vacate the area, that's not called its designated purpose, and therefore it's awesome. So according to Rabba once again, we make that distinction between tzorich gufa and tzorich mekoymi, indirect and direct usages. And therefore, according to Tanna Kamma, a kli shemalachti le'iser can only be used at tzorich gufa, but not at tzorich mekoymi. A kli shemalachti leheter can be used for both purposes. According to Nechemia, even a kli shemalachti leheter can only be used the tzorich gufay. But a kli shemalachta le'iser, of course, cannot be used for any purpose because it's designated for malacha. You can't take the hammer, which is meant to be used for malacha, and use it to crack a nut. That's certainly not the designated purpose of this keli, and therefore it's off limits. So that's the opinion of Rabba. Omali Rabba. So Rabba challenged Rabba. How can you differentiate between tzorich gufay and tzorich mekoymai? According to Rabba, both are equal and the same. Le tzorich mekoymai, if he's moving it to vacate the area, shaloi letzorich karesle, you regard that as shaloi letzorich, it's not filling a need, he's not using it, it certainly is, it's part of the use of the kli to move it for the sake of vacating the area. Just as using the kli itself is called tzorich, moving the kli, he needs to move it to benefit from the moving of the kli by vacating the area, that's also called a tzorich. So according to Rava, both things are equated, we can't draw a distinction between these two things. Elam ha-Rava, The pshat in the Mishnah is as follows. When the Talmud Kama begins and says, the kli can be moved, letzorech, he means as follows. Letzorech means dovash l'machta l'heter. Something which is designated for heter can be moved for both purposes. Bein letzorech kufoi, bein letzorech mekoymei, whether he needs the kli for itself or he needs the space, it's mutter. Shaloy letzorech, when the Talmud says he can move it even shaloy letzorech, what does he mean? Afilu mechama letzel. Even if he's moving it from the chama, the sun, to the shade, that also is mutter. Because he's deriving benefit from this movement, that is also mutter. So going to Rava's approach, since it's a klisha malachti leheter, it's inherently designated for heter, it doesn't need to change the status, the designation of this kli. So it can be moved for all these reasons. Whether he needs the kli, needs the space, or he's simply trying to protect this kli. However, when it comes to something which is malachti leheter, okay, there Rava agrees there are some limitations. Because it's designated for prohibited use. So there, the only reason why he can move it is if he actually needs the kli. If he needs the kli or the space, it's mutter. Once again, we equate gufi and mekomi. They're both considered to be hanoah, benefiting from the kli itself. But if he's merely moving it from the chama to the shade, it's aser. Because since it's inherently designated for malacha, unless he actually changes that designation, he's benefiting from the kli directly, he can't move it. He can't just move it from chama letzel. V'asher mechami lemeimar, he's more restrictive. V'afilu dovash melachta leheter, even something which is designated for heter, letzorech gufa letzorech mekoyma in, if he's moving it to use the kli or the makom of the kli, yeah, it's allowed, because once again, according to Rava, both are considered to be direct hanoah from the kli, considered to be fulfilling the designation of the kli. But if he's simply moving it from the chama to the tzel to protect the kli, it's aser because that's not considered to be tashmish of the kli. He's not using the kli. He's not benefiting from the kli. Therefore, going to mechami, it's aser. So in summary, we have a discussion between Rava and Rava on how to learn the Mishnah. We have a Tanakama. We have a mechami. So when it comes to a kli shemalachti leheter, so a kli which is designated for heter purposes, Rava says he can move it. These are considered to be benefits which he's deriving from the kli. Rava adds that he can move it even mechamal itself to preserve the kli. This is inherently mutter kli, so he can move it even for that purpose. When it comes to kli shemlachti le'isser, Rava says he can only move it letzorech gufay. If he's using the kli itself, or if he's merely deriving incidental benefit by moving the kli and vacating that area, that's not sufficient enough of a use to allow this kli shemalachti leheter. Rava says, letzorech gufay and tzorech mekoymai on the same boat. We don't differentiate between the two things, and both are considered to be an adequate, sufficient use of the kli, which allows even a kli shemalachti leheter to be used for these purposes on Shabbos. When it comes to the mechamia, so it depends. A kli shemalachti leheter, according to Rava, could be used letzorech gufay. Because Rava, once again, he considers a direct use of Tzorech Gufay as the primary use of the Kli. And according to Nechemi, only the primary use is allowed. Whereas according to Rava, he equates the actual use of the Kli with the use of the space of the Kli. They're both considered to be just as important. And therefore, even according to Nechemi, he may use the Kli Shemalach Tel-Esser for both of these purposes. When it comes to the Kli Shemalach Tel-Esser, all agree that can't be used on Shabbos in all situations, because it is designated for malacha. He can't use it for a different purpose. Now, as we pointed out, a thing which is not a kli at all, for instance, a rock, or a piece of wood, a broken kli, certainly according to all shittas, is off limits. It's not a kli. It can't be used for any purpose. And likewise, a kli, sheyesh bo chisaron kis, these fragile, delicate items, where a person sets them aside and only uses it for its defined purpose, for its defined malacha, that's also off limits on Shabbos and cannot be moved under any circumstances. We're going to see actually in the upcoming Gemaras a discussion about these two categories. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Safra, so Rav Safra was sitting, Rav Acha Bar Huna, together Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chinana, so all three were sitting, Yosef Yikarmi, they were sitting and saying, we have a kash, L'Rabba, I'll leave with the Rav Nechemia, according to Rava. Rava's approach in Rav Nechemia, who says that even a klisha malachti leheter, for instance, a bowl, a plate, could only be moved l'tzarech gufay, right? According to Rava, we differentiate between direct use, which is allowed, and indirect use, which is not allowed. So according to Rava, in Rav Nechemya, hami ka'aris, these place, these bowls, after one's finished using them, heichem metaltelinen. How do we move them? Although they are malachti laheter, but once he's finished using them, he simply wants to empty the area, vacate the living room, vacate his table. How can he move them? Litzarech mekayma. Amul Rav Safra midi dahava grav shalrei. There's a special exemption called grav shalrei. We had this earlier. This utensil that has rei, it has waste inside. So on account of its repulsiveness, offensiveness, the Chacham allowed it to be moved on Shabbos. So these bowls, these plates may be removed from the dining room on account of their offensiveness. So this is a special reason, a special heter that allows moving these things. Amalei Abaye, l'Rabba. So Abaye asked the same kasha. He asked it directly to Rabba, however. Lamar, meaning master, you. According to you, Aliba de Ramachemi, according to you, in Ramachemi's Shita, Hani Ka'aris, Hechem Taltalinlu. These Ka'aris, how do we move them? Amalei Rav Safra, Chavrin, Rav Safra, our friend, he already answered. Tirguma, he already explained, Mida de Hava Graf Sharei, on account of the Aloha of Graf Sharei. So we equate the two things, and just as that can be moved, these can be moved as well. Eisvi Abai L'Rav. Now Abai asked Akasha on Rav. From two halachas. Rav again says that a kli shemalachti l'iser can be moved l'tzarech gufa and l'tzarech mekayme, right, according to the Tanakama. We equate gufa and mekayme, and it can be moved for both reasons. Says Abai, what about the following brice? Meducha, this is the mortar that we discussed yesterday, which is a kli shemalachti l'iser, it's meant to be used for malacha. The brice is in Yeshba Shum. If there is garlic inside, metalt noise, you can move it. If you love it, otherwise, metalt noise, you can't move it. Even if he wants to sit on it. So, why? Why can he not move the mortar? So, Abaye says, well, if we're speaking about, if the halacha is that can only move this melachti l'iser kli for the sake of the gufoy, so perhaps here, He has no intention of using l'tzarech gufay, so it's aser. But according to you, that even l'tzarech mekayma it's mutter. So why in this case is it aser? So he said, "Achmai eskina." We're speaking about mecham l'tzel. He doesn't need the space of the kli. He's simply moving it. He'd like to move it into the shade. In that case, it's aser. Even according to me, that's not called benefiting from the chayfet itself. And therefore, it's aser. Esvi es another kasha v'shoven. This is back to the Machlokes B'Sham B'Sil. They all agree. Shem Kitzabal of Basar, if he hacked his meat on this thick cutting board, which is Melachtil Isser, because one usually crushes the grains on it, does a Melacha. So it's considered to be something which is designated for Isser. And all agree that if you already finished using it, cutting his meat, Sh'asal Tadli cannot move it. Why can't he move it? Says Gemara Chanami here as well, we're speaking on Mechamel Tzel. He simply is trying to move it into the shade. In which case it's us, or even according to Rav, because it's not tzarech gufay, it's not tzarech mekaymay, and it's us. Continues the Gemara. V'hadas not. What about the following Mishnah? Ein soimchin es hageder bebakas. This is going to be a kasha on all shittas. It's going to be a kasha on Rav and on Rav. The Mishnah says ein soimchin es hageder bebakas. One cannot support a pot with a bekas, with this block of wood, which is intended to be used for fuel on yantiv. And therefore, you can't use it for these other functions. Says Gemara, why not? V'ha bekas to be yomt davar shom melachta leheteru. This bekas is something which is melachta leheter, designated for permissible use, and he cannot use it. He wants to support a pot with it, which is called tzarech gufay, right? Using the thing itself, and it sounds like certainly not the tzarech mekaymay. If he's simply looking to vacate the space, alma apparently davar shom melachta leheter, even something which is melachta leheter. Bein l'tzarech gufay, bein l'tzarech mekayim is aser. So it's aser if he's trying to use this thing, whether he's using the thing itself or its space. So this is a kasha, because all agree, Rabbi and Rava both agree, that at least according to the Tanakhama, one can move a kli shemalach teheta for these purposes. Says the Gemara, you know what the reason is? Although we're speaking about yomtiv, when this thing is melach teleheter, because you can burn it on yomtiv, hasam nahainu time over there. You know what the reason is? Kivan the b'shabbos, davar shemelach teleisru. Since on Shabbos this piece of wood is considered to be melach teleisru, right? Gzera Yom Tov Atu Shabbos. The Chacham employed a gzera, and they prohibited on Yom Tov Atu Shabbos, lest they come to do this on Shabbos as well. So they made a muktzah on Yom Tov. You can only use it for actual fueling purposes, but you can't use it for other purposes to support the pot, etc. Says the Gemara, one second, Mechi Tema. If you'll say Shabbos Guvei Tishtri, even on Shabbos itself, it should be muta to move this bakas. If you want to use it, why? The Hadavish Melachti Le'Isser. Because even something which is Melachti Le'Isser, Le'Tzorirech Gufoy, Le'Tzorirech Me'Koymai, Shari, one can use it if he wants to, one can move it if he wants to use the thing itself. And also Le'Tzorirech Me'Koymai, according to Rava, right? So, if on Shabbos itself is a muta, so why would you say on Yom Tov is Aser on account of Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Hani Mili, this is only Hechad Ika Teres Kli Olav. When the thing has a status of a clear utensil, for instance, that hammer, one can use it to crack nuts. Hecha de leka teres kli olav. When the thing does not have the teres kli on it, doesn't have the gather, it's not status as a kli, such as this piece of wood, this block, loy, certainly in that case, on Shabbos, it is totally off limits. And therefore, on Yom Tov, the Chachamim applied a gzera, did not allow its use, on account of Shabbos. Says the Gemara, mi gazrinon. Is that the case that we make an Isser on Yom Tov on account of Shabbos? V'atznan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah? Ma'ashilin peiris derech aruba b'Yom Tov. One has produce sitting on his roof and he sees a storm approaching. He sees it's about to start raining. So he wants to get his peiris into the house. Says the Mishnah, he can. On Yom Tov, he can be ma'ashilin peiris derech aruba. He can lower, throw, toss the peiris through the aruba, through this hole in the roof, the skylight. So you can do so on Yom Tov, avaloi b'Shabbos, but you can't do that on Shabbos because it's tircha, it's exertion. So even though he's trying to protect his property, that's not allowed. But on Yom Tov it's allowed. So we see there's that distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And we don't say on Yom Tov is usur on account of Shabbos. Says, miloi gazrinan, do we not make gzera? V'atnan, we have a Mishnah which seems to tell us that yes, Shabbos and Yom Tov are meant to be equated. Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Ella oichel nafesh v'avad, only concerning matters of food preparation. Apparently, doing a tircha, such in this case as he's picking up these peiros, putting them through the roof, which is an exertion, he cannot do that on Yom Tov, just as he can't do it on Shabbos. So you see that we do make an iser on Yom Tov as on Shabbos. We equate the two things. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yosef Loikash. It's not difficult. These two Mishnahs, which seem to contradict each other, the Mishnah which allows the Tircha on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos, and the other Mishnah which seems that to tell us that when to equate Yom Tov and Shabbos, they reflect two different opinions. Hor Rabbi Lezer, Hor Rabbi Shua. These two Mishnahs reflect different opinions. One Rabbi Lezer, and one Rabbi Shua. Let's see. The Sani is one to the Bais. Oysev Ez Benoi. So this Bais is discussing doing Tircha on Shabbos, exerting himself on Yom Tov, I mean. So if you have the Oisiv Espinoi, this mother and son animal that fell into a bar, shenafel a bar, it fell into this pit. And as we know, one cannot slaughter, can't be shoychet, a mother and any child in the same day. So he'd like to bring up the animals from his bar. What could he do? Both of them are not fit, are not suitable for Yom Tov. It's either one or the other. So what does he do? Reb Lezer Omer, malas arishon amnas shoychtoi b'shoychtoi. He brings up the first one, schleps it out of the bar with the intention of being sheikhed, and he shechts it. That's it. He can't go further. He can't take the second one and bring it up. Vasheni, regarding the second one, oisle parnasa bim kaimai, he provides it parnasa sustenance where it is, in its place, so it doesn't die, but he cannot do tircha, even for the sake of hefzit, to preserve his property, to spare himself from loss. Tircha, for the sake of hefzit on Yom Tov, is asr. So Belezer is compatible with that Mishnah, which told us that there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov only regarding Eichel Nefesh. So that's the Shittah of Belezer. We don't differentiate. And therefore, Belezer holds that on Yom Tov, one will not be able to do a tircha for the sake of preserving his property. He can't go ahead and take those peiros from his roof and transport them into the house. Because one cannot do tircha even to save himself from loss on Yom Tov. Yom Tov and Shabbos are regarded as equals in this matter. So that's the Shita of Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Shoimer, yes, one can do a tircha to preserve his property, to prevent loss on Yom Tov. And Rabbi Shua is the Shita which told us, Mashilin Peres Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov. That on Yom Tov specifically, Chacham allowed tircha for the sake of preserving his property. Rabbi Shoimer, Malas Arishan, Amnas L'Shoichta, he can bring up the first animal and present himself as if he's going to slaughter it. Ve'enish Shoichta, he decides, you know, I don't want to go ahead and be Shoichet it. Umarim, and he pretends, Umalas Hasheni, and brings up the second one. Now he has two animals, he has a choice. Rotza, Zeh Shoichet, if he wants, he shechs this one. Rotza, Zeh Shoichet, if he wants, he shechs the other one. So Rishit Abishu allows Tircha on Yomtiv to save his property. So this is a teretz. That one Mishnah, the Mishnah which allows doing Tircha on Yomtiv, bringing those pears there, Charuba, is Rabbi Lezer. The Mishnah which says that generally there's no difference between Shabbos and Yomtiv, is Rabbi Shua. Sorry, just the other way. The Mishnah which says you can go ahead and bring the pears derech haruba on Yomtiv, meaning tircha is allowed for the sake of preserving one's property, is Rabbi Shua, who allows bringing up the second animal to spare oneself from hefsid on Yomtiv. Whereas the Mishnah which says you might equate Shabbos and Yomtiv, is Rabbi Lezer, who does not allow tircha even for the sake of preserving one's property, as we find here that he doesn't allow him to carry out the second animal from the bird because there's no use for it on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, Mi'imai, how do you know to compare these contexts? Dilma, perhaps, Ad kan lekar Rabbi Lezer hosam. It is only over there where Rabbi Lezer says that one cannot do tircha to bring up that second animal because there's an alternative. There's a clear choice here. Ela de efshel lefarnasa, because he can go ahead and sustain the animal right where he is. It's not necessarily going to bring a hefsed here. Aval heicha de lo yefshel lefarnasa, but there's no option of parnasa, for instance, sake of the payrates which are sitting on his roof. He needs to preserve them by bringing them through the aruba into the home. There's no other alternative. Loy, perhaps over there is different. Rabbi Lezer would allow exertion for the sake of preventing loss. Inami, alternatively, Ad kan loy ka'amer b'shoa hosam. It is only over there by the animals where b'shoa allows bringing up both animals, afshar b'harama, because he can do it in a way of harama. Pretends it looks like he needs it for yomtiv. So since he's at least outwardly demonstrating that he's conforming with the guidelines of yomtiv, he's doing it for the sake of yomtiv. It appears that he's doing it for the sake of yomtiv. Chacham allowed because it's a situation of hefsid, so they allowed it. But if harama pretense is not an option, it's not part of the equation, he's going to carry those peris and be matriach himself to bring them to the house. There's no pretense there whatsoever. Loy, perhaps over there, Rabbi Shua would not allow. So there's really no justification to compare and to attach both of these contexts to each other. Perhaps they're unrelated. The discussion of the oisiv is bringing fell to the bar is unique. Has its own factors, which are unrelated, unconnected to our discussion at hand. Says the Gemara, Elamar Papa. This is going back to the Kasha. We had a stira because we have a Mishnah which says on Yom Tov one may carry those pears through his aruba to save them, to preserve them, but on Shabbos. So you see that difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, as opposed to the other Mishnah which says Ein be Yom Tov leShabbos Ela Eichel Nefesh Bolvat. There's no differences between Yom Tov and Shabbos only when it comes to preparing food, which seems to imply that one cannot do a tircha on Yom Tov, which is something which he wouldn't be able to do on Shabbos. So how do we reconcile? How do we resolve? So we tried Rav Lezer and Rav Shua, it didn't work. Amar Rav Papa l'kasha, it's not a kasha. Ha Beis Shammai b'Silo. One is Beis Shammai, one is Beis Silo. This not as we learned in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai, Omer, Ein Moitzin Es HaKotan V'Salulav V'Sefer Torah L'Shus Rabbim. On Yom Tov, one may not carry out a katan, a lulav, a sefer Torah. He could only do it for the sake of Eichel Nefesh, if he needs to carry food. It's for the sake of food. But other items cannot be moved on Yom Tov, cannot be carried out to Shusram on Yom Tov. But there's still matirim, they allow even these types of objects. This is discussed, the reason is discussed in Masechus Beitza. In any case, we see that it seems like Beis Shammai equate Shabbos and Yom Tov. They say when it comes to carrying, one cannot carry on Yom Tov all these types of items, just like he can't do it on Shabbos. And they still differentiate. They say, well, all on Shabbos, he can't carry out, but on Yom Tov he could. So, pertaining to our discussion, perhaps the Mishnah, which says that one can go ahead and carry those pears into the home, is Beis Hillel Shita, who differentiates between Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Yom Tov he can do it, on Shabbos he can't. The other Mishnah which equates Shabbos and Yom Tov is Beis Shammai, who's saying that Shabbos and Yom Tov are meant to be equated. Says the Gemara, how could you compare the two things? Aim with the Shamas, Lubei Shamai. When did you have a Shamai? Who restricted? That's only when it comes to Hoitzah, carrying out, which is Lacha Dehraisa. Tiltu Mishamaslu, when it comes to moving items about, which is merely a Tircha, or let's say when we discuss Muktzah, moving items, that's not Dehraisa. How do you know that there as well, they would say it's Asar Yantav, just like Shabbos, that they equate Shabbos and Yantav? Says the Gemara, the Tiltu Gufay, Tiltu itself, moving items themselves, that's also Lavashim Hoitzah, is it not because of Hoitzah? As Rashi explains in Gemara Beitza, that the reason why the Chachamim prohibited moving things on Shabbos, Muktzah, is so that a person doesn't come carry it out. Do the Macha Vitzah. So two things are very much connected. In order to carry out, you need to first move things around. That's the beginning of the process. So two things are interrelated, interconnected. As Rashi says, if a person will be mezalzel betiltel, he'll go ahead and just carry haphazardly mezalzel Vitzah, that will lead to a zilzel. So disregard for Hitzah as well. So two things are very much connected and related. And therefore, indeed, it's very compatible with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, who are strict when it comes to Hitzah, are going to be strict when it comes to Tiltul on Yom Tov as well. And they will say, one cannot go carry those payers into the home, do Tircha, even for the sake of preserving laws, for the sake of Hafsid. Whereas Beis Hillel, who are lenient when it comes to carrying out items Hitzah, they will also be lenient when it comes to carrying those pears on Yom Tov and allow him to carry them into the homes to send them through that Aruba to preserve his pears. So we have that resolution on the stira between the two Mishnahs. The Mishnah which is Machir Yom Tov is Beis Shammai. And likewise, he will not allow using that bakas, that block of wood, to support his pot, to support his doorway on Yom Tov, just as it's Muktzah on Shabbos, on Yom Tov as well. He can't do it Gzeira. Yom Tov Atu Shabbos. Whereas Beis Hillel, who are more lenient, they will allow using that block of wood on Yom Tov. We find that they're more lenient on Yom Tov. One can transport the pears through the roof. One can carry out all these items on Yom Tov. They're more lenient when it comes to Yom Tov. They differentiate between Yom Tov and Shabbos, and therefore he can use that block of wood as well. So in summary, Yom Tov and Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai, they're meant to be equal. One can't be soymich bebakas, support using that block of wood. The Mishnah, which says "Ein be Yom Tov leShabbos," there are no differences except for Eichel Nefesh, food preparation, is Beis Shammai. As we find Beis Shammai say that Hoitzah, carrying out on Yom Tov is Aser, unless it's for food purposes. Whereas Beis Hillel hold that Shabbos and Yom Tov are not necessarily equated with one another, and therefore we understand the Mishnah, which allows taking those pears derech Aruba to preserve them, as we find that Beis Hillel allow carrying all types of objects on Yom Tov, a cotton, a lulav, and a sefer type. Continues the Gemara. Va'af Rav Savala Hadarava. Let's go back to our discussion earlier between Rav and Rava, where Rava equated Tzorech Gufay, the direct use of the Kli, and Tzorech Mekoymai, when he's moving it simply to vacate the area. Rava held that even a Kli Shemalachti Le'isr can be moved with Tzorech Gufay and Tzorech Mekoymai. Says Mar Rav also held like Rav. Vaf Rav Savala de Rava, to allow something which is Malachti Lissa to be moved, Litzorich Mekoyme. To Amar Rav, because Rav said, Ma'amar, this is a shovel, which is meant to be used primarily for Malacha. Shaloye Ganev, if he's moving it simply to preserve it, to protect it from thieves, Zeo Tiltu Shaloye Litzorich. That's called Shaloye Litzorich. Not for a need, it's not filling his need, it's not being Meshamashim, and therefore, Va'asr, he can't move for that purpose. Now, let's make a diuk. Taima shaloye ganav. That's only because he's simply moving it to protect it from being stolen. Aval tzorech gufa u'tzorech mekoymai mutar. But if he's moving it in order to use the kli itself, or even tzorech mekoymai, that would be mutar. Eini says, more is that the case, that Rav holds that tzorech mekoymai is mutar? V'ha, we have a story about Rav Kahana. Ikla labei Rav. Rav Kahana visited the home of Rav. V'oma, Rav said, Aisule shusa l'kahana. Bring this net. So a net is a klisha malachtilis, sir. It's used for malacha. And he said, bring the shusa l'kahana, right? Referring to Rav Kahana. Le'isivalei. So that he can sit on it. Now why did he need to add that description, that he can sit on it? Lava l'memen. Wasn't he coming to say, the dova shal malachtilis, sir? That's something which is meant to be used for isser, can only be moved l'tzorech gufayin. It is only moved for the sake of using the kli, that he could sit on it, but not to use the space. So wasn't that what he was trying to teach them? Says the Gemara, no. Hachi Amarlu. This is what he told them. Shkulu shusa mekamakana. Take away the net from before Kana of Kana, meaning make space for him. So we see that tzarech mekaymoy is mutter. Vibayisem, alternatively, hasa mechama letzelava. He actually told them to bring it. Now, why did he say bring it so he can sit on it? Because we're speaking about that it was in a place of chama, it was in a sunny area. So he wanted to avoid misconception. The onlooker would think that perhaps he's allowing moving this mukta thing in order to protect it. That's why he's telling him to move it out of the sun. So therefore, he needed to add that. He needed to say, well, go bring the net from the sun. Right? It was coming from the sun. He said, go bring it so that Kahana should sit on it. He was trying to highlight, stress that the reason why it was mutter was because there was a function being filled there. There was a purpose. He was using the kli to sit on it. He wasn't merely trying to protect the kli by moving that out of the sunlight. But really, technically speaking, that wasn't a requirement. Even if the purpose of moving it was simply to make room for Kahana, that also would be mutter. Continues the Gemara of Mari Baruchel, Havale, he had ahi beis adyusa, these mattresses, b'shimsha, so they were in the sun, and that's certainly a klisha malachte leheter, right? Also, Kamei Rav, as he came before Rava, he wanted to know what he can do to protect his mattresses, to get them out of the sun. Now, Rav Mari Baruchel apparently held like Rava, that a klisha malachte leheter is also restricted. It can only be moved to Tzarech Gufoy or Tzarech Mekomi, but not to protect the kli. So he came before Rava, who holds that actually he can move it for all purposes, tzarech gufoy, tzarech mekoyme, even mechama letzel. Right? So he came to ask Rava, what should I do? Amar lei, so Rava told him, so he came to ask him, he said, Amar lei, what should I do? Malu tulinu. What is the halacha regarding moving them? Can I move them out of the sunlight? Amar lei, sure, he says, sure, you can move it. Because Rava held that he can move it even to protect the kli. So Rav Mari Baruchel responded, Isli achrina, but I have other ones. Meaning, I don't really need these mattresses, because he held. You can only move it if he's actually using it. But not to protect it from sun. So Rava responded, okay, apparently you hold that you have to have a use here. Chazir la'orchem. They're suitable for guests. So move them out of the sun, because perhaps some guests will arrive. You need it for them. That is also a legitimate need. So he said, Islin, Amil Urchim, I have other ones for guests. I don't need these at all. Amar Leis, now Rava was sort of exasperated. He said, Golis Adaitich, you've demonstrated that your opinion is the Karabas Virlich. That you hold like Rava, that one can only move something if it is for the sake of the Kli itself, if he wants to use the Kli, or for the sake of the space under the Kli, but not merely to preserve the Kli. If so, I have no Eitzah for you, I have no solution. The Kuli Al Mashari, for everybody else, it's Mutter to move it out of the sun. L'didach. But according to you, it's Aser, because you, Paskin, you hold like Rav. Amar Rab Abba, Amar B'chei Barashi, Amar Rav. Machbeda Shemulsa, these brushes, made of fibers, used to clean off the table, Mutal Taltlum, B'Shabbos. One can move them on Shabbos. Aval Shol Tmaraloi. But the broom is made of palm branches, which are used to sweep the floor. Now generally their floors was of earth. So therefore sweeping those floors was a Malacha. Ashvuya Gumais, right, straightening out those pits in the floor, it's a malacha. So therefore, this kli, this broom, is a kli shem lachta liyasa. Reb Lezer Omer, Ashal Tmara, even the ones made of Tmara. Says, what's going on? But my askinan, what are we speaking about? Ilan letzarech gufa, letzarech mekaymai. Does he need the kli? Letzarech gufa, he needs the kli itself. Or letzarech mekaymai, he needs to have the space. Behal leme rav, shal Tmara loy. In this case, Rav would say that he can't move that broom. Why? V'harav k'rava sfirle. We just concluded, Rav was like Rava, that even something which is not the list can be moved, l'tzarech gufa or l'tzarech mekoyma. Ela mechama letzel. Apparently we're speaking about merely taking it out of the sun, into the shade, in which case, it's aser. Says the Gemara, if so, behol lemer b'lezer, av shol tmara. If that's the case, why would Rabbi Lezer say that even this palm broom, which is a not the list, can be moved into the shade? Nobody holds that you can do that. Says Rambam, Mechamel Etzel. Certainly, we're speaking about moving from the sun to the shade. Ema say v'chein Rambam Blazer. Indeed, Rambam Blazer concurs with Rav that one cannot move it. Mechamel Etzel. Continues the Gemara. Kol Akelim Anatol B'Shabbos. So all the kelim which can be moved on Shabbos. What if they crack up? They break apart. Shivreim Nitol Nimayim. The broken pieces can be moved likewise. Just as the kelim can be moved, the broken pieces can be moved. Ubovad provided that they're still functioning, right? Because we mentioned earlier something which is useless, a broken kli, a piece of wood, a pebble. That's not a kli, right? The Rambam says only a kli can be moved. So these broken pieces need to be performing some sort of function. They need to be suitable for something. Ubovad provided sheyu oisim me'ei malacha, that they can do some sort of partial malacha. They're suitable for something. For instance, shivri areva, the broken pieces of the areva, this bowl used to knead dough in it. Some say it was made of wood. So this piece of areva lechases ben piachavis, to use it to be mechasa as piachavis, the opening of the barrel. Shivri schuches, what about broken glass? Let's say a container breaks apart. So those need to be useful for lechases ben piapach, to cover some sort of a container. So you don't need such a large piece like the areva, because the areva was, let's say, if it was made of wood, so it was less valuable. So you need a larger piece to have value. But the schuches apparently was more valuable. So even a smaller piece, which is sufficient to cover up the piapach, is sufficient. So as long as it's serving some sort of function, it still has a status of a kli, and therefore it can be used on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that's not enough. Bilvad provided shehu oisim ei melachton, only if it can serve a purpose which resembles its original function. For instance, shivri areva, the pieces of the areva, lotzer glusoichon mikpa, that can be used to pour some of the soup in it, which resembles the dough which is used in the areva. V'shal schuches, a broken piece of glass, lotzer glusoichon shemen, to pour into it some oil which resembles its original function. It was part of a container which was used for liquids. So you need to have some sort of resemblance to its original function. Otherwise, it undergoes such a drastic status change and it is not allowed to be used on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. When did this kli break? Before Shabbos or on Shabbos? Amar Yudah Amar Shmuel. Machloikis. This machloikis in the Mishnah, where Tanakama maintains that it's sufficient if this broken piece can serve any function, as opposed to Rabbi Yudah, who requires that it resembles its original function. That's only Shinishbur Me'er Shabbos. When it broke before Shabbos. So it came into Shabbos broken. The Mar Savar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Me'ein Melachton in, only if it serves, it resembles its original function. Me'ein Melach Acheres Loi, but if it serves some sort of other function, that's not sufficient. Because it underwent such a drastic change. That's considered to be Moktza, it's considered to be unsuitable. Because it used to be a kli, now it's just a broken kli. That's not regarded. That's not considered to be a kli, and it's muktzah. Umar sover, Tanakam knows, no. As long as it's somewhat functioning, afilu me'im aloha acheres, even if it's serving a different type of function, it's still called a kli, it's still functioning. So that's if it broke on Erev Shabbos. Aval nishbur b'Shabbos. But if it broke on Shabbos, so they broke apart on Shabbos, and they came into Shabbos when they were whole. So since at the onset of Shabbos, it was part of a kli, all agree, Divrei Hakol, all agree, mutarin, these broken pieces are mutar, even if they're only performing some sort of function. Why? Hoyel, since umuchon al gabe avien, mutar. Since they were prepared as part of their father, meaning they were part of the original kli, they were one and the same, they were connected with the kli, at the onset of Shabbos, that determines the status of this kli. It's considered to be a kli for Shabbos, even if it breaks apart during Shabbos. As long as it's somewhat still useful, that's enough, because it holds on to its full kli status, which it received at the onset of Shabbos. So all agree to this. Says the Gemara, Moisiv Rav Zitroi. We have a kasha from the following halacha. Masikim bekelim. This is on Yontif. One may use kelim as fuel, because they're not muktzah. Vei masikim b'shiver kelim. But one may not use broken kelim as fuel. Let's analyze. Dinishbur emas. When did they break? Ilema dinishbur erev Yontif. If these wooden kelim broke apart erev yomtiv, why can't he use them? Eitzim ba'almaninu. They're pieces of wood which are prepared, they're designated to be used for fuel. And why are they mukta on yomtiv? On yomtiv, one is meant to use wood for fuel. Elalav b'yomtiv. Apparently, they broke apart on yomtiv. So since they broke on yomtiv, then it's a new entity. It entered yomtiv as a kli, and now it. It broke apart. It's like a new creation. It's called Noilad. It's a new phenomenon. This is considered to be Muktzah. It's not considered to be paired and stand, and it doesn't stand to be used for Yomtiv, because at the onset of Yomtiv, it wasn't broken. So we see clearly that even when something breaks apart on Yomtiv, it's considered to be off limits. Ela lav denish b'yomtiv, it broke upon a yomtiv, uktani, and it says, masikim b'kelim, one can only use the kelim, whole kelim, ve'im masikim b'shiv rikim, but one cannot light these broken kelim. So this is not consistent. We just said that when a kli walks into yomtiv whole, even if it breaks apart on yomtiv, it's mutter. Here we see clearly that, actually we were speaking about Shabbos before, here we see when it comes to yomtiv, we don't say that. If it breaks apart on yomtiv, it's mukta. It's considered to be a new entity because it's not anymore serving its initial function, its initial purpose. It's a broken kli, although it's very much suitable for firewood. But it was part of a kli, and this piece of wood cannot serve in that capacity. So it's considered to be mukta. Ella says, Zigmar, we must switch things around. E, Itmar, if we learned that statement mentioned earlier from Rida Mashmol, it was as follows. Hoch, Itmar, this is how we meant to learn it. This is how we learned it. Omar Rida Mashmol Machloikis, this Machloikis in our Mishnah, whether the broken part needs to perform somewhat, and that's sufficient, or needs to perform in the same capacity as it initially performed. That's only Machloikis Shinishma B'Shabbos, when those Kalim broke apart on Shabbos. The Mar Sava Muchanu, Tanakama holds, it's still considered to be paired for this function, because it came into Shabbos as a kli, right? It wasn't mukta, it was totally suitable, it was useful, it was a kli, right? Now that it broke apart, it still maintains its original kli status because it's still somewhat useful, even though it's performing in a different capacity, right? But it still has a function, still has a use, it's still considered to be a kli, it doesn't lose its status. Umar Sava Noiladu, Rabbi holds, it's a new entity, it's born anew, it's Noilad. Because it's not anymore serving its initial capacity. It was serving, Rava was serving to knead dough. Now this broken piece of wood is merely used as a cover for a chavis. That's not, it doesn't resemble its initial function. Therefore it's noilat. Avomer, Shabbos. But that's only if it happened on Shabbos. But if it happened from before Shabbos, the Vrakom Mutar and all agree that it's mutter, even if it's serving in some capacity. Why? Since it was prepared for malacha before Shabbos. So since it was already standing to be used for those insignificant functions, it's not considered to be mukta. That's only because it happened before Shabbos, so it came into Shabbos in that status. So it's considered to be a kli. But if this happened on Shabbos, this drastic change occurred on Shabbos, according to Abuda, it's considered like a new entity. Because at the onset of Shabbos, it was serving in a different capacity. Whereas the Tanakhama maintains, as long as it's serving in some capacity, it's not considered to be a new entity. We don't regard it, we don't give it a new identity. It still retains its kli status. So in summary, regarding a kli that broke apart, and the broken part still can perform in some capacity, may malacha, although not in its initial capacity, but it still serves something for something. So if it broke apart b'chol during the weekday, all agree it's mutter because it entered Shabbos in that capacity. And therefore it's considered to be a kli. Whereas if it broke apart on Shabbos, we have machlekes. According to Tanakam, it's mutter because it still retains its kli status. According to Abid, it's aser. We need to have that it should perform a shimush which resembles its initial function. Otherwise, it's considered to be noilat. It's a new entity. It came into Shabbos doing one thing and now it's doing something else. Therefore, it's aser. Continues the Gemara. We're going to have a three-way stira. Tani chada, we have one brisa which says masikim bekelim. On yontav, one may light these kelim, use them as fuel. They masikim beshiver kelim, but he can't do so with broken kelim. V'tani yidach, we have another brisa which says kishem shemasikim bekelim. Just as we can use kelim, kach masikim beshiver kelim. We can use broken parts as well. V'tani yidach, we have then a third brisa which says ei masikim loy bekelim v'loy beshiver kelim. One cannot use whole kelim or broken kelim. We have a three-way contradiction. Says it's more very simple. There are three shittas. Ha Rab Yehuda, the first brisa which says you can use kelim but not broken kelim is Rab Yehuda, who says that something which was created anew on Yom Tov is aser. This broken kli is considered to be noilad, therefore it's mukta. Ha Rab Shimon, the brisa which says that it can use broken kelim is Rab Shimon, who holds this type of transition is not considered to be noilad. It's not considered to be a new creation. It's not mukta. Ha Rav Nechemya, the third brisa which says you cannot use broken or whole kelim is Rav Nechemya, who we mentioned earlier holds that a kli can only be used for its specified, for its designed purpose, its designed function. Is a kli meant to be burnt as fuel? No. Therefore, it cannot be used. You can't use a kli, and certainly not the shiver kelim which broke apart on Yom Tov, which are considered to be a new entity, a noilad, and therefore it's us. Omer Rav Nachman, Now we're going to discuss the a case of Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis, something which may not be moved due to its value. It's designated for construction. Hani Livni, these bricks, these Shtayrim Binyana, which were left over from the construction, Shari L'Totolinu, one can move them. Why? The Chazulim is Galari, because they're fit to sit on them. They're not anymore serving the construction purposes. Shraginu, but then if he went ahead and he piled them up, he stacked them up, Vada Aktsinu, certainly he set them aside for the next construction project and the Muktzah. Omer of Nachman Mashmol, Cheres Ktana, what about a small piece of a broken pottery? Mutal Tatal B'Chotzer, if he's in a courtyard, he can move it. Why? Because he can use it. He can use it, there are a kalim there which he needs to cover, so they're not Muktzah. Aval B'Karmelis, but if this piece of Cheres is in a Karmelis, an unfenced area, for instance, where it's not common to have kalim there that need to be covered, Loi, he cannot move this piece of cheres because it has no use. Rav Nachman the Deomar, Rav Nachman himself says, I feel a bekarmus, even in the karmus, one can move the cheres because perhaps he needs it to cover up a spit on the floor because people linger around in the karmus and sit down, so it's useful even in the karmus. Aval b'shesarabim, in the shesarabim where people don't sit around, Loi, it's serving no purpose, no function, and it's muktzah. So the location influences the status. V'rav amar, the location has no influence. Afilu b'shesarabim. Even if Shisram, it's not Muktzah. If it's a Kli, if you regard it as a utensil in a Chatzah because it has function, it has use, it's irrelevant where you are now. Karmelis or Shisram, it's not Muktzah. It doesn't lose its status. V'az the Rav Tamei, Rav follows, is consistent with his opinion. As we have in the following story, the Rav of Ka'azal Barisaka, the Mechayza, Rav is walking in this street in Mechayza. It v'asoy mesane, Tina. So his shoe or his shoes got dirty with tina, with mud. V'asa shami, so a servant came along. Shokel chasbe, took this piece of pottery, this broken piece of pottery, become a chaperle, and he was wiping, he was cleaning up the shoe. Rome be rabbanon kolah, so the rabbanon there, they expressed a loudly voiced their displeasure. How could you do that? It's muktzah. Hamar. So Rabbi responded, why are you criticizing him? Loi mistayed the Lake Mir. It's not enough that they haven't learned the halacha. Migmar, Nami, Megamri, they're going and teaching their mistakes. Ilu b'chatzer havoi. If I would be in a chatzer in a courtyard, miloi have a chazil, ksuya b'mana. Would it not be suitable to be used to cover a kli? Certainly it would. Hachanami here as well. Chazil adi, it's suitable for me. Meaning, since it has a din of a kli in a chatzer, it doesn't matter where we are. Even if it's a rabbim, it's not muktzah. Here as well, it's suitable for me, I'm using it, it's fine. Omar v'yudah mashmo, meguvas chavis. If you have a lid of a barrel, shenekatata, so the chavis broke apart. Mutal tal b'shabas, one can move the lid, even though it's custom made for this chavis, but it's useful to cover something else with. Tanya mihachi, we learned likewise in the Braisa, megufa shenekatata, nekatata, if you have a lid from a barrel which broke apart, he, the lid itself, was shvareh on the broken pieces of the barrel, mutal tafel b'shabas, he can move it on Shabbos. V'lo yispois, mimeno shever l'chas b'sakli. He shouldn't go at lispois, means to smooth out the edges. He cannot do that, that's a malacha. That's makav patish, he's putting the finishing touches on the utensil, that's not allowed. If he's doing it l'chas b'sakli, v'lisboch b'kaber amita, he can't straighten it out, nor to cover the kli, nor to lismech b'kaber amita, to support the legs of the bed, or for any other reason, he can't do that. That's a malacha. V'im zarka ba'ashpa. Now, if he takes this broken piece and throws it into the garbage, asr, he can no longer use it. It's muktzah. Says the Gemara, why is it muktzah? Maskalar papa. If papa asked, hello miata. If that's the case, zarka liglimi. If one threw his garment into the garbage, hachanami dasa. You're going to see here as well. It's asr. It's muktzah. Certainly not. Ela amar papa. If he threw this piece of pottery into the ashpa from before Shabbos, then it's also because it's a piece of pottery which is arbitrary. He can decide that this thing is useless for him. It doesn't have any value. So he throws it into the garbage before Shabbos. By doing so, he negates its value, its kli status, and it comes into Shabbos valueless, considered to be a non-kli entity. Therefore, it's muktzah, as opposed to the glima, which he throws into the garbage. It's inherently valuable. So by throwing it into the ashpa, he does not reduce it, he does not negate its kli value. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the machlokes between Rabbah and Rava regarding muktzah. According to Rava, we split. We make that distinction between tzorech gufay, the use, direct use of the kli itself, and tzorech mekoymi, merely moving it for its space. Rava says, when it comes to kli shemlach til iser, and likewise, according to Rav Nechemi, even a kli shemlach til heter, it is only mutal tzorech gufay. According to Rava, Those two things are equated. Gufay and Mekayme are considered to be equal and the same. Rabbi even adds that a Klishim Lachtel Heter can be used, can be moved, Minacham Alatzel, to preserve it, can take it into the shade. We proceeded with the Machlekes B'Sham Mesil. Do we equate Yom Tov to Shabbos when it comes to certain things? According to B'Sham, yes. According to Mesil, no. We had a Kli that broke up, and the pieces are still useful somewhat. So if it happened during the weekday and it entered Shabbos in that manner, it's mutzah. It's considered to be designated for this purpose and use. And it's not mukzah if it happens on Shabbos. According to the Tanakhama, it's mutzah. According to Yabita, it's mukzah because it needs to serve in the same capacity somewhat that resembles its initial function. We learned that one can be masikin, he can fuel, he can use as fuel, kalim, but not those broken kalim that broke on Yom Tov. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's noilat, it's also according to Rabbi Shimon, he can use the broken parts also. According to Rabbi Nechemya, he can't even use the kalim themselves because it's not its tasha sham yuchla, its designated purpose. We concluded with the story with Rava, who told us that a piece of pottery is not muktzah regardless of its location.